O Allah, just as Thou hast spared me for this day, so also spare me for its likes. Bless the Prophet Muhammad and his household, and torment me not in it and in other nights and days by allowing me to commit unlawful acts and to clothe myself in sins. Provide me with its good, the good of all within it, and the good of everything after it, and turn away from me its evil, the evil of all within it, and the evil of everything after it. O Allah, by the protective compact of Islam, I seek mediation with Thee, and by the inviolability of the Quran, I rely upon Thee. By Muhammad, the Chosen, Allah bless him and his household, I seek intercession with Thee. So recognize my protective compact, by which I hope my need will be granted. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, decree for me on Thursday 5 things, which none embraces but Thy generosity, and none supports but Thy favors. Health through which I may have the strength to obey Thee. Worship by which I may deserve Thy plentiful reward. Plenty in my state through lawful provision. And that Thou makest me secure in the places of fear through Thy security. And placest me in Thy fortress against the striking of worries and sorrows. Bless Muhammad and his household. And make my seeking his mediation as an intercessor give profit on the day of resurrection. Surely, Thou art the most merciful of the merciful.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brother, dear sister, salam. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Thank you very much for choosing this program to listen to, in which we're going to speak about the Holy Quran in life. من الآيات والتفسير ويسقي العقل والتفكير يواكب واقع التغيير يشيد بالوئام صروح يشيد بالوئام صروح يشيد بالوئام صروح صدره يطوف بين الروح سناه على الحياة يلوح مع القرآن حين أعيش عبير الوجد من Today, Wednesday, 3rd of Shawwal, 1446 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 13th of Farvardin, 1404 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 2nd of April, 2025 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. As usual, and as the ritual of this program, we open Allah's book, the Holy Quran, and we'll listen to chapter and verse 19.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم قل أي شيء أكبر شهادة قل الله شهيد بيني وبينكم وأوحي إلي هذا القرآن لأنذركم به ومن بلغ أئنكم لتشهدون أن مع الله آلهة أخرى قل لا أشهد قل إنما هو إله واحد وإنني بريء مما تشركون.
Say, what thing is greatest in testimony? Say, Allah is witness between me and you, and this Quran was revealed to me that I may warn you thereby and whomever it reaches. Do you truly testify that with Allah there are other deities? Say, I will not testify with you. Say, indeed, He is but one God, and indeed, I am free of what you associate with Him.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Besides all other prophetic miracles, unseen aids, and frustrating the hostile plots, the Quran itself is the greatest evidence to the Prophet's messengership. The messengership of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure family, is both worldly and eternal for all humankind and in all ages. However, a permanent warning indeed should be accomplished with an everlasting warner. Therefore, the divine imamate and leadership should also be together with the Quran forever.
إن القرآن لنور يتفجر في جنباتي يرفعني عند مليك الخلق لأعلى الدرجات
إن القرآن لنور
يتفجر في جنباتي يرفعني عند مليك الخلق لأعلى الدرجات
قرآني نبض حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي قرآني عصمة أمري قرآني طوق نجاتي قرآني نبض حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي قرآني عصمة أمري قرآني طوق نجاتي.
As I told you, the topic of this episode of today's special is about Quran in our life. The teachings of the Quran, when implemented correctly, significantly impact everyday life by prohibiting negative behavior, such as alcohol consumption, drug use, adultery, gambling, jealousy, greed, and arrogance. It encourages individuals to abandon destructive habits and guides us to be conscious, compassionate, intellectual, respectful, and trustworthy, subservient to the commandments and decrees of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In essence, the Quran is an eternal miracle gifted to this ummah via our beloved Prophet Muhammad, comprising the most significant speech of Allah applicable to all of men.
Sayyid Muhammad Ridwi.
Imam Ali alayhi salam was not only talking, he wanted this to, he was dictating it. He wanted somebody to write it down. What he says, Wallah, Wallah fil Quran. He says, I remind you of Allah. I remind you of Allah regarding the Quran. Because that is our foundation. You know, that is the only book in which we don't have any doubt about. Any other book, you know, we never use the term Sahih before it. Because all the books of Ahadith, we have to individually scrutinize them to see whether they are reliable or acceptable or not. But Quran is beyond any level of, you know, doubt or criticism as far as the integrity of the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concerned. And so this is something we have to keep in mind at all the times. And Amir al-Mu'minin here, You see, the first five items, they didn't even talk about salat. He talked about taqwa. He talked about being organized in your affairs. He talked about making peace when there is dispute among you. He talked about orphans. He talked about neighbors. And then he talks about the Quran. And this is where, then he comes to salat and hajj and jihad and, family ties and amr bil ma'ruf and nahi al munkar. So when he talks about the Quran, he said something very profound. And I think we really have to seriously look at it. It has been 14 centuries. Maybe we collectively as an ummah, we have lost that. But individually, we still have the opportunity to live by this wasiyyah. What does he say? He says, Wallah, Wallah, I remind you of Allah. I remind you of Allah. Fil Quran. Regarding the Quran, لا يسبقكم بالعمل به غيركم. It shouldn't be that others implement the Quran before you.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, Every Day for 15 Minutes.
Be like the sun shining with light, be like a rose spreading its fragrance in every palm.
Today's special.
Be like the earth, humble and wise, be like the rain, pouring all your love to every soul.
Now, what attitude should I have towards the Quran? All of us have a set of preconceived notions and perceptions about life. Quran and Islam that we gather from our respective cultures and societies. If we read the Quran thinking that we already know the truth, we will not gain true benefit from it. We'll only be able to grasp the message if we open our mind for it. When approaching the Quran, we shall cast aside our perceptions and try to understand the Quran as it was understood by the infallible Imams. Moreover, when the Quran says something that contradicts our beliefs, it is our beliefs that we must change and not the Quran. Those who are not willing to accept the teachings as they are, try to twist them to suit their own and take verses out of context to justify their actions and positions. This leads to misguidance instead of guidance. And the Quran mentions that some people are indeed misguided by it.
هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير يوجهنا الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا
هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير يوجهنا الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا.
In this part of today's special, we have some tips to improve our understanding of the Holy Quran. One of the tips is make dua or supplications. Before reading the Quran, ask Allah to guide you. Your goal is to connect with Allah genuinely for the love of Allah through study, understand, and applying His wonderful words. Making a dua to Allah for assistance and guidance will be our most significant tool for doing this. Allah has promised to grant our request whenever we draw close to Him and offer a dua to Him. Let's end this episode of today's special by this verse from chapter Al-Baqarah. When my servants ask you, O Prophet, about me, I'm truly near. I respond to one's prayer when they call upon me. So let them respond with obedience to me and believe in me. Perhaps they will be guided to the right way.
Oh. Today we want to look at a tradition, a hadith from the Messenger of Allah, the Prophet Muhammad, may God's peace and blessings be upon him and his family, in which he gives us a beautiful similitude of the Quran in our hearts. And he gives us an antidote to clear and to purify and to remove any of the impurities which may have built upon our hearts over the last 11 months. And the Prophet says the following in this tradition. These hearts, just like iron, become rusted. And the way to remove this rust, the way to clean the rust from the hearts, is through the recitation of the Quran. I'm sure all of us have seen rust build up on metal tools, for example, that we might use in our garden, or for example, in our cars, or in many different things that have stayed outside, and the elements, you know, the water gets to it, the air, all of these chemicals get to these, you know, products and items that we might use in our gardens or around the house on a day-to-day basis, and they develop a covering over top of them, whether it be rust or air or something else. And obviously, when we have that rust build up, we tend to want to clean it, to polish it. If it's some, you know, tarnish on a utensil, we want to polish it to make it look nice. If it's something that we're using, let's say in the garden, we might want to remove the rust from that to allow that tool to last longer, you know, so it doesn't rot away, whatever the case may be. And so the noble messenger in this tradition shows us that just like these things develop a coating that we want to remove, similar do our hearts develop this coating, this rust, this impurity upon it. Many times we don't have really an opportunity to connect to Allah fully with a full focus and devotion to Him. We all lead obviously busy lives, and sometimes things just don't work out for us. And so we sometimes shirk in our responsibilities and our commitment to the faith. But definitely each and every single believer make an extra point to recite the Quran, to engage in extra worship. And as the messenger says, that the way to clean this rust from our heart, the way to polish our heart and remove any spiritual impurities which may have developed within it, is to engage in the recitation of the noble Quran. And so with such a reward promised to us, not only this numerical reward, but also a benefit of removing the rust from our hearts.
That was today's special from IRIB English Radio. We leave you in Allah's care. في أمان الله.
لا إله إلا الله الله ربي محمد نبي علي إمامي لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي لا إله إلا الله الله ربي محمد نبي علي إمامي لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي.
IRIB English Radio, a window to peace of mind and spirituality. You can tune in to IRIB English Radio 24 hours a day. We are with you. Are you with us? Are you with us? Are you with us? This is our voice from the heart of the Islamic Republic of Iran, IRIB English Radio.
Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure.
this humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You are listening to the program Hadith of the Day on Iran Radio with Sheikh Danish, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Dear listeners, salam, and welcome to this episode of the Hadith of the Day. So, today we explore a profound saying from Imam Ali alayhi salam, the Islamic teachings, and we uncover their real-world significance. So, Imam Ali alayhi salam says, "From the treasures of paradise are doing good, concealing good deeds, patience in afflictions, and hiding one's hardships." So basically, the Imam is saying that you do good deeds, and conceal them. And you are patient in difficulties and calamities and afflictions, and hide them, hide your hardships, never nag. So this hadith gives us a roadmap to a fulfilling life, emphasizing kindness, humility, and resilience. But how does this wisdom hold up in today's world? Let's break it down. So studies in positive psychology show that acts of kindness increase happiness. But what's even more fascinating? Researchers at Harvard found that anonymous generosity, such as donating without recognition, activates the brain's reward centers more than public acts of giving. Imam Ali alayhi salam advises us to hide our good deeds not for secrecy's sake, but because true kindness is its own reward. I repeat, but because true kindness is its own reward. So you keep it to yourself, and you have this enjoyment, and you don't let anybody else in to interrupt your enjoyment, that connection that you have with your inner self and your God. So try helping someone without telling anyone. Pay for a stranger's meal, or leave an encouraging note for a friend. Whatever you do, do not leave any strings back behind. No strings attached to that, for example, to that note. You'll feel an inner joy that no applause can match. No applause can match. So neuroscientists studying resilience have found that when people face hardships with patience, their brains develop stronger emotional regulation. Instead of reacting impulsively, they build long-term endurance. Imam Ali alayhi salam reminds us that patience in tough times, it's not just about waiting, it's about growing through challenges. So a practical tip would be, when you face difficulties, instead of asking why me, try reframing the situation and ask, what can I learn from this? Or you can ask that question in a positive way, why me? Why Allah chose me? There could be a positive reason, right? You look at it positively. Allah loved you, and that's why He's testing you, trying you, right? So as Imam Ali alayhi salam says, do good deeds and conceal them, and be patient and hide your difficulties. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
You just listened to the program Hadith of the Day on Iran Radio with Sheikh Danish, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammadin. محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
Let's recite the Quran.
وإذا قرأت القرآن جعلنا بينك وبين الذين لا يؤمنون بالآخرة حجابا مستورا.
القرآن نور وبيان. القرآن هدي الإيمان. القرآن مسك الختام.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآله محمد وعجل فرجه
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله Respected brothers and sisters, and welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperations with Sevier International Schools. I'm really glad having brothers Masoom here with me, Hussein Ruhullah, and Hassan Nasrullah with me. Today in this session, Salam, dear Masoom, how are you?
Alaykum Salam, sir. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Hussein, how are you doing?
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. And how is Hassan doing?
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Everybody is fine and ready to get started. Inshallah, today we will be practicing Ayah 41 and 42, Surah Hud on page 226. So brothers and sisters, open the Quran in front of you. Page 41, page 226, Ayah 41 and 42, Surah Hud.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وقال اركبوا فيها بسم الله مجريها ومرساها إن ربي لغفور رحيم وهي تجري بهم في موج كالجبال ونادى نوح ابنه وكان في معزل يا بني اركب معنا ولا تكن مع الكافرين
Nice recitation, mashallah, mashallah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. Allah Almighty says in Ayah 41, وَقَالَ ارْكَبُوا فِيهَا بِسْمِ اللَّهِ مَجْرَاهَا And it's also pronounced مَجْرَيْهَا Do you see that little ship below the word مَجْرَيْهَا?
Yes.
Oh, the way I recite it, مَجْرَيْهَا It tells you that you can recite it as an A, okay? مَجْرَيْهَا This is a style of recitation, a kind of one of the narrations, okay? مَجْرَيْهَا Got it? And you can recite it majra. Actually, it's a heavy letter, yes? Ra, followed by a mad letter, majra. Majraha. You can recite it as majraha. Usually, the reciters recite majraha with this narration. Okay. وقال اركبوا فيها بسم الله مجريها ومرساها. So, Allah Almighty, after Prophet Nuh built that ark, the sheep, Allah Almighty commanded him. وَقَالَ ارْكَبُوا فِيهَا He said, board it. All aboard. In the name of Allah, it shall set sail and cast anchor. Huh? The acceleration is what? Saying Bismillah.
Mm-hmm.
And it stops by saying Bismillah.
Bismillah.
It moves by saying
Bismillah.
The name of Allah, in the name of Allah, it moves. In the name of Allah, it
stops.
Let's learn one beautiful point. If we want to move on, we got to start our works with the name of
Allah.
Allah. We should finish our work by remembering Allah.
Allah.
Yes. Just the way you recite the Quran. How do you recite the Quran? A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Right? When you finish,
Sadaqallahu al-Aliyyul-Azim.
Again, you remember Allah Almighty. Bismillah doesn't mean saying Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, this sentence. No. Bismillah means with the name of Allah. Just remember Allah Almighty, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The best one is that. When you say Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad, as well, it's name of Allah. Allahumma. You're asking Allah, right? So it means you're remembering Allah Almighty. Got it?
Yes.
Yes. So Brother Hassan, please read Ayah 41. Everybody listen to him. Then inshallah Brother Masoom will read Ayah 42.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وقال اركبوا فيها بسم الله مجريها ومرساها
أحسنتم. Thank you. But look, there is a difference between ha and ha.
Yes.
Yes? So this one is not ha. It is?
Ha.
Ha. وَقَالَ ارْكَبُوا فِيهَا هَا soft one, not ha. It changes meaning. It changes meaning.
Yes.
بِسْمِ اللَّهِ مَجْرِيهَا not ha. وَمُرْسَاهَا alright, move on. إِنَّ رَبِّي
لَغَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ
أحسنتم. Thank you so much. So, the first point was that, okay, ha and ha are different. They are differently pronounced. Ha is a kind of throaty sound and harder, I'm saying. And ha is a softer one. Just breathe out. Fi ha, ha, simple. The next one, majriha, that little ship that you see below the letter ra, that tells you, read it with an a sound. Okay, a sound.
Majreha.
It is majraha, but one narration says, and that's popular, kind of, majreha, the way Sheikh Minshawi as well recites. Majreha, okay? Wa mursaha. That jim tells us?
Jim allows us to make
allows us to make a pause here. Inna Rabbi. Huh? Inna. Rabbi laghafurun rahim. How do you read it? Laghafurun rahim. Brother Masoom, read the next ayah.
وَهِيَ تَجْرِي بِهِمْ فِي مَوْجٍ كَالْجِبَالِ وَنَادَى نُوحٌ ابْنَهُ
أحسنتم.
ونادى نوح ابنه وكان في معزل يا بني اركب معنا ولا تكن مع الكافرين
أحسنتم. ما شاء الله. So وهي تجري تج that echoing sound. Yes. تجري بهم في موج كالجبال. Hussein, how do you read it?
Mawjinkal jibal.
You hide the sound of noon here, the tanween sound. Wanada nuhun ibnahu. This is one of the important rules, okay? It's kind of rare it happens, okay? This is kind of examples. So you should be knowing that. Nuhun ibnahu. How do you read it?
Nuhun ibnahu.
What rule is this called? Huh?
No.
رفعوا التقاء الساكنتين. The fixing the two silent letters, the two sakin letters meeting. Two sakin letters meeting, okay? Look, نوحن ends with what?
تنوين.
تنوين, but yes. تنوين is that? نون ساكن. نوحن. Yes?
Yeah.
Do you see there is Hamzat al-Wasl? In the beginning, there is no Hamzatul Wasl, Ibnahu, okay? Ibnahu, that ba is sakin, right? Ba is sakin. Nuhun, nun is also sakin. Two sakin letters. no harakat. No a, no e, no u, no fatha, no kasr, no dham. How do you read it? Nuhun b'nahu.
It's so hard.
Yeah, it's so hard. That's why you use hamzatul wasl for the word ibnahu if you want to read it separately. Okay? You say ibn. Put an e down the hamzatul wasl, a kasra, you assign it with the kasra, and you read it. But when you join hamzatul wasl is, ignore it. So again, the same thing happens. Two sakin letters still we have there. So here, the rule says that Nuhun Hurrik bil kasra. It means the Nun sound, which is sakin there, it will be assigned with a kasra. Nuhuni. Nuhuni. Now you have a kasra. Mm-hmm. There are no longer two sakin letters. You fixed it. So if one sakin letter is there, that's easy. Nuhuni. Now join it to ib. Nuhu ibnahu. Okay. How do you read it? Join it to the next word. Ya bunayya. But join it again with the next word. Ya bunayya.
Kab ma'ana.
There is a meme.
Ya bunayya kab ma'ana.
It is kab ma'ana. But you read it. Ya bunayya kab ma'ana. That meme. Okay. So وَنَادَ نُوحٌ ابْنَهُ وَكَانَ فِي مَعْزِلِي يَا بُنَيَّرْ كَمْ مَعَنَا. You join them. Got it? وَلَا تَكُنْ مَعَ الْكَافِرِينَ. وَلَا
تَكُنْ
مَعَ الْكَافِرِينَ. That's it. I'll recite these two verses, inshallah, listen and repeat. Ready, everybody?
Yes.
Brothers and sisters, as you're listening, try the recitation part. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
وقال اركبوا فيها بسم الله مجريها ومرساها.
وقال اركبوا فيها بسم الله مجريها ومرساها.
إن ربي لغفور رحيم.
إن ربي لغفور رحيم.
وهي تجري بهم في موج كالجبال ونادى نوح ابنه.
وهي تجري بهم في موج كالجبال ونادى نوح ابنه.
ونادى نوح ابنه وكان في معزل يا بني اركب معنا.
ونادى نوح ابنه وكان في معزل يا بني اركب معنا.
يا بني اركب معنا ولا تكن مع الكافرين.
يا بني اركب معنا ولا تكن مع الكافرين.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
ما شاء الله. That's it, brothers and sisters. Dear listeners, thanks for being with us, brothers and sisters, up to the end. Thanks so much for being with us till the end, brothers and sisters. Masoom, Hussein, and Hassan, thank you so much for being with us in this session. Inshallah, we will be here with you. Stay with Arab English Radio, brothers and sisters. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadi wa alihi at-tahirin.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
Ocean of Dua.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على محمد وآله الطاهرين In the name of Allah, the Most Beneficent, the Most Merciful. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, and we're going to be with you in this edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition, we will inshallah talk about the dua, the reality of supplication, its categories, and we will describe some of its effects. So stay with us. So, dear brothers and sisters, we were talking about different constituents of supplication, and when we got to the second constituent, which was the supplicant, the very man or woman who is calling for Allah, we told you, dear listeners, that there has to be some aspects which makes the supplicant a real and true one. The first one which we previously talked about was submission, that the supplicant has to believe that he is the very servant of Allah and he has to recognize his own servitude towards his creator. The second one which we started to talk about was for a supplicant to believe in God's power. This was the second condition for a genuine supplicant. Let's continue talking about this very condition in being a true supplicant. In different narrations and different talkings of our infallible imams to the Almighty Allah. So Imam Sajjad alayhi salam says, Subhana man qaddara bi qudratihi kulla qudratin. Glory be to him, Subhana, who has determined with his power every power. So this shows that Imam Sajjad alayhi salam truly believes in God's power and before he starts to invoke Allah, before he starts calling for Allah to be responded, he starts talking to Allah like that. He says, I am the one who knows that you are the true power. You have the power of all the powers and no one can overpower you.
Alhamdulillah, khaliq al-khalq, basit al-rizq. فالق الأصباح ذي الجلال والإكرام والفضل والإنعام الذي بعد فلا يرى وقرب فشهد النجوى
We can read in one of the other narrations that Kulayni says in his book that Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam in one of his wars was resting at the foot of a hill. It was at this very moment that one of his enemies seized the opportunity, drew his sword, and went up to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saying to him, "Who is going to save you now?" And the Prophet instantly replied, "My God and your God." So, dear listeners, if you think about this very sentence that, "Who is going to save you now?" And the Prophet said, "My God and your God," this means that between your sharp sword and my head, there might be a short distance, but there is a power which is invisible to you, and that's the power of Almighty Allah and what I'm believing in. So the infidel did not believe in what the Prophet ﷺ was saying, and he smiled, he put his sword aside to give the Prophet ﷺ a blow. But the Prophet showed the right reaction. He forced him to let the sword fly in one direction. Now, the Prophet drew his sword, asking the infidel, "Now who is going to save you?" And the infidel did not have any other option, so he replied, "Your generosity, because you are a great man." So then it was the time for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to pardon him and forgive him. So you see, dear listeners, even in the hard circumstances, in the very hard choices that we have in our lives, we have to think, we have to believe, we have to recognize that there is a power over all the powers that we might see in the world. Imam Ali alayhi salam said, "La yasduqu imanu 'abdin hatta yakuna bima fi yadillah awthaq minhu bima fi yadihi." One's faith will not be true unless he has one condition. Dear listeners, if you want to know when your faith would be completed, you'd have to listen to this. This is very nice, because Imam Ali alayhi salam says, "Hatta yakuna bima fi yadillah awthaq minhu bima fi yadihi." Your faith will be completed only when you are certain of what there is in Allah's hand more than what you are certain that it is in your hand.
Why do we make supplication? And why do we call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it because God is not aware of our needs? God is al-Alim. He knows all of our needs. Is it because God needs convincing? God is known as al-Jawad. He is the source of generosity. Then why am I making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The dua is a journey of realizations. When a person goes to the ocean, and he takes with him a bucket that can carry 4 liters of water, the ocean is infinite. In as much as your vessel is large, that is the amount of water that the ocean will give you. And therefore, our goal is to expand our capacity. Rumi has a very beautiful poem. He says, "Har khujo mushkil javab onjo ravad." Wherever there is a problem, that is where the answer will come. Wherever there is a vessel, that's where the water will come. Don't go seeking for water. Instead, create the thirst within you. So that the water may burst forth from above and from below you. Experience that realization that you need God, and the mercy of God will come towards you. Paradise, thank you Allah, now that we're here, feeling so good, about all the things that we went through, knowing that God is pleased with us too, it's not a dream, this is so true, and we know we'll be here forever. Feeling is indescribable, knowing that this is
ocean of dua.
Your faith will not be true, your faith will not be completed unless you are certain of what there is in Allah's hand more than your certainty of what there is in your own hands. And it is, of course, in this very matter that we're talking about. So I suppose that's enough for now, and we're going to move on to the next aspect of being a true supplicant in the next program, inshallah. Thank you for staying with us. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
From the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Answering your doubts and questions, and questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Allah, who is Ar-Rahman, Allah, who is Al-Mannan.
Please send us your emails through our email, which is englishradio@irib.ir.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to another episode of the program, Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. I'm Atta, the host of this program. Sheikh Ahmad Danish is over here to answer today's question. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Welcome to the show.
Assalamu alaikum. Thank you.
Okay, Sheikh Ahmad Danish, in a beautiful prophetic hadith, we read that Kalimatul Hikmah Zalatul Mu'min. The words of wisdom are the lost, we can say, desires of a believer. In fact, a believer is in pursuit of, or must be in pursuit of, we can say, the words of wisdom or wisdom anywhere he finds. So, first of all, give us the full text of the hadith by Prophet Muhammad, and then define for us Kalimat al-Hikmah. I mean, what does it mean by the words of wisdom?
Right. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Thank you for the topic and introducing it. As you know, that the full text of the hadith says in Biharul Anwar, I'm quoting from Biharul Anwar, it says that Kalimatul Hikmah Dallatul Mumin. Fahaisu wajadaha fahuwa ahakku biha. That is, the words of wisdom are something that a believer has lost. So wherever you find something that you have lost, haisu wajadaha fahuwa ahakku biha. So he is more worthy of it, right? So, for example, what happens if a person has lost his baggage at the airport, right? Sometimes it happens that a flight comes and your baggage is left behind in a transit flight.
All right.
Right, so what will happen? That whenever that lost baggage comes, the airline will call you and tell you that your baggage has been found and you can come and take it mm-hmm. from us.
Mm-hmm.
So in the same manner, the hadith is telling us that wherever words of wisdom are found,
mm-hmm.
a believer is worthy of having those or applying those words of wisdom in his life. Because a believer's life is a life of reason, a life based on tawheed, a life based on wilaya, and application of the realities of the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their material and their spiritual lives.
That's right.
So wherever words of wisdom are found, these are in sync with the realities of the world. And these are in sync with the realities of this material world and the higher spiritual world.
That's right.
So whatever is found by the mu'min in other traditions, for example, these should be incorporated in the life of a mu'min, or because this is something that is worthy of the life of a believer.
So these words of wisdom can be from the side of the non-Muslims or even, I don't know, maybe disbelievers? Is it so?
Even. The hadith doesn't say that these are specifically from a religious tradition. For example, what happens if we find some words of wisdom in the Old Testament and the New Testament,
mm-hmm.
right? Some of the stories about the prophets that have not been mentioned in the Holy Quran.
All right.
So we have to identify, but of course this is a work of trained scholars.
Yes.
That they identify that which are the stories that are truly words of wisdom.
Okay.
Because we know that these books have been distorted as well.
Yes.
So it is the work of experts who are trained in these sciences to find out these words of wisdom in all of the different sciences, in history books, in different traditions and cultures, and to bring it for the benefit of the Muslims,
mm-hmm.
And the Muslim community.
Yes, that's right. Okay. And the words of wisdom, you know, we know that there is a part in Nahj al-Balagha compiled by Sayyid al-Razi, I mean, as the words of wisdom. So the words of wisdom are to be defined in what way and based on what standard, Sheikh? Is it only referring to religious matters, non-religious matters, the point about our daily life, or what?
Hmm. For example, we can see in some of the social sciences, right?
Yes.
In this day and age, we had from the past 100 or 150 years back, this concept of social sciences came about. And we had numerous social sciences. We had psychology, we had sociology, anthropology, economics.
Mm-hmm.
And all of these sciences are trying to understand, for example, human activity and human life from different aspects. So if we study, for example, psychology, we come across this concept of three layers to a person's existence. The conscious existence, the subconscious existence, and the unconscious world of a human being. And the picture of the unconscious is like an iceberg. That is, an iceberg, only a very small part of it is on the surface. And what is beneath the surface is the most of the iceberg is beneath the surface.
All right.
And so the subconscious or the unconscious world of a person is introduced in with this metaphor.
Okay.
And so this is a concept in psychology.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that this applies also in our lives as well. We can, when we come across this concept, we see that this same concept can explain a lot of things in our life as well, because our subconscious and the unconscious mind controls a lot of what we do consciously in our day-to-day lives. And so some of these things you can say that are tested over time. They become hikmah. Why? Because human beings over a period of time follow the predictions of these theories, for example. We can test these theories over time. And they are found to be true by a lot of the experts. And so therefore, this can give insights into our own existence and the existence of others. And we can apply it in a way that it doesn't negate our religious beliefs. And so there's no reason not to accept such opinions and theories.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, this is the work of